Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and I'm your host of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And you're listening to bbsradio.com, and I always greet you with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which really literally means peace, peace, peace. Greetings, salutations, and peace. And in case you're new to Tantra Cafe, I want to talk to you a little bit about the format so that you kind of understand what I'm trying to accomplish here. I want people to really know about what Tantra is, and I have an effort to demystify Tantra. People hear about it, they've heard about it on television and in movies, and basically they think that Tantra is just some kind of kinky sex or something really esoteric, and I like to give people a real sense of it through the portions and of my program. So the first part of every program is an appetizer where I do something to demystify Tantra and in the cafe format. And then the second part of my show each week is the entree or the main course. And that's where I have a guest who knows something about Tantra or is in some kind of tantric practice. And we have a conversation, and then I always play you some music at about the halftime in the show, which is music that I use in my own Tantra workshops. And then my guest comes back, we talk for a little while longer, and then I always give you a Tantra takeout portion, something to go, so that you can take it with you when you're home, you can try something that we've talked about on the show. And sometimes, it hasn't happened yet since I've been on BBS. It happened when I was on my former station. Sometimes I have a couple on who practice Tantra together, and I ask them for their passionate secrets. And I call that Tantra dessert. So I believe on my next show, I'm going to have a couple named Arjuna and Chanti, and they students of mine, and they also have a cartoon called Tantric Warriors. And when they're on, I'm going to ask them some secrets. They might not even, you know, I'm going to ask them kind of by surprise, find out what they do, what kind of practices they do together. So anyway, that's basically the format of my show. And just in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And let me just tell you, before we get into the demystification part, the appetizer, that you can call in and ask us a question. So I'm just going to give you the couple of toll-free numbers. You can call in on 888-228-4494 if you're in the U.S. or Canada. And you can also call in worldwide on the following number, 877-489-6350. You also, by the way, if you want, you can write something on BBS Radio Fast Chat if you go to the bbsradio.com website and scroll down on the right-hand column, and you can go into Fast Chat and write me a quick note if you want to. So that's just to identify us and where we are in our station. Anyway, tonight, as the appetizer to demystify Tantra, I want to talk about what I got started in, which is that a lot of people think that Tantra is just some kind of sex practice, esoteric sex practice, or something kinky. There's a lot of people on the internet using the word Tantra as some of their slogan or the way they call themselves, some kind of tantric practitioner. And they aren't. There are people selling sex on the internet, and they have now thrown Tantra in as a buzzword. So it's a little bit of caution. If you want to learn Tantra, you want to make sure that you are learning it with people who are taking it way beyond sexual aspects and really combining body, mind, and spirit together as Tantra meaning the expansion through awareness and really expanding the body, mind, and spirit, joining it together and expanding people's whole consciousness with it. So Tantra really is a spiritual practice. It's not a religion, but it is the whole science of Tantra really does connect us as a whole, holistic being. And anything less than that really is not Tantra. So I really want people to know that anything that you do in Tantra, anything that you read, any practice, anytime you meet someone and you are practicing Tantra, it should take you to a whole other realm. Even if you are doing a tantric sex practice, it's not a kink. It is rather something that takes you into the cosmos or a much greater expanded experience of yourself as a being. So that's what I'm going to call tonight as our tantric appetizer, just some reinforcement of what Tantra really is. And it really has gotten kind of a bad rap because of people misusing the word and using it as some code these days. So I like to keep it on its straight path. My last show, I talked about the difference between red, white, and black Tantra. And tonight I just want to really say out to everyone out there, this is what Tantra is. It takes you to spiritual realms. So without further ado, I want to get right into the entree for tonight, or the main course. I'm going to introduce my guests momentarily, and we're going to talk a little bit about some other kinds of tantric experiences and practices. So in case you tuned in for the first time, this is Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm Laurie Handler as your host. And as I said earlier, you can call in to us at the toll-free numbers, or you can write to me on the BBS Fast Chat. You're listening to BBS Radio. So my guest tonight is Krishna Naidu, and Krishna is both a yoga teacher. He teaches a special kind of yoga, and he's also a Tantra teacher. In some respects, I would call him a Tantra master. He's been practicing both yoga and Tantra for quite some time, and I think that you'll find some of his responses to our questions tonight extraordinary. He is going to talk about his practice. So, Krishna, are you here? Are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to Tantra Cafe. I'm thrilled to have you. And I want to just start, you know, asking you some basic questions, because you do both yoga and Tantra. A lot of times I tell people that they're connected, but they don't always get how that is or how that happens. So, let's just say for a second, how did you first get into yoga, and what kind of yoga do you practice? When I talk about yoga now, I'm talking about regular yoga. So tell us a little bit about how you first got into it.
Well, when I first started practicing yoga, I actually started with meditation and chanting. And only later on did I find a form of yoga that had the same type of impact as meditation practice, which actually stilled the mind. And that was like 5 years after practicing meditation. And that's called Svarupa Yoga.
Svarupa Yoga, is that a form of, is that, you know, related to or close to Hatha Yoga? Is it like a Hatha Yoga practice?
It is a Hatha Yoga practice. And all the different forms of Hatha Yoga that people talk about, I'm practicing Iyengar or Bikram or Ashtanga, all form underneath the same thing as Hatha, which means you're working with the body to open up the energetic channels.
You know, what
people have different names.
Okay, good, thanks. You know, thanks for saying that. I usually explain in my classes that when I'm teaching Tantra that yoga, Hatha yoga, is the masculine form because it's postural and it has to do with strength, stamina, and control. And that Tantra yoga is the feminine aspect and has to do with chaos and the unknown. And that they go together. How does that grab you, what I'm saying?
Well, that would be the creating strength in the body is the hatha yoga practice. And once you have the strength, then the feminine can dance upon that strength. It's kind of like you've done a lot of tango and look at a lot of the different dance forms out there. You can see how the masculine forms the frame and the woman creates this dance, and he's holding this space for that to occur.
Nice. Very nice, yeah. So that's how I look at it, too. I think that they go hand in hand. Practicing hatha yoga is important for one's body, and tantra yoga is important for the body in a different aspect, in the chaotic aspect, in the aspect that's kind of free and loose, in the feminine, in the unknown. So, great. So, you got into this practice. You said at what age did you start? You said you were 3 years. Like, how old were you when you started doing regular yoga?
When I started doing the research and experimenting on my body, it was actually at the age of 16. And then after 3 years, I found a path that gave me a direct experience of all the stuff I had read about but didn't know, as you would say, shit about shit.
That's what I would say. We'll have to explain that to people, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I found that path, and then after receiving initiation, I started having experiences of really far-out mystical experiences, and some quite scary, but actually just because I didn't understand what was going on.
Okay.
And then at that point, when I opened up books, I realized what it was I was experiencing. And from that point on, I just got more excited and went deeper and deeper and deeper into the practice.
So when you say you then understood what was going on, are you referring to what people call a kundalini experience?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that, because that's one of those things that, you know, that's one of those big flashing signals, warning signs, like, uh-oh, be careful, you could have a kundalini experience. What is that?
Well, kundalini is only dangerous if you don't have the support of a lineage, and there's a couple of different lineages out there that can give that level of support. It's only dangerous when you awaken your own kundalini through either doing really extensive breath practice, or some people have that type of experience off of hatha yoga. And some, it depends. Like, I could say it's dangerous in a certain aspect in those situations, like when you force it to happen. And then some people just have spontaneous awakenings because of all their built-up practice, we'll say over lifetimes, which they'll just walk in and do their first class and have a spontaneous awakening. So it's just like something.
So let's roll back for a minute, because there's people who have no idea what we're talking about now. So let me explain what kundalini experience is, or what kundalini is, so that so people know what the heck we're talking about. So kundalini is basic sexual energy, shakti energy actually, which is the feminine aspect that lays in waiting. It's a curled snake. That's snake energy imagery that stays asleep in the sacrum, in the area of the sacrum. And when we start awakening this energy through yoga practices and through tantra, this snake starts to crawl up and awaken and rise from the sacrum, which is the lower part of the spine and the tailbone area, and it starts to rise up the backbone all the way up the spine. And it's like energy is shooting. It goes slowly at first, but the Kundalini experience that Krishna is talking about is when it spontaneously shoots up the spine, shoots into the neurotransmitters of the brain, and feels very much like an out-of-control drug experience if those channels open so quickly when a person is unprepared. And so when Krishna says that he was having some early experiences where he didn't know what was happening to him and the energy was just moving, that could get very scary, which is why I'll say, as a Tantra teacher, it's very important to have a teacher. When you have to find it out in books like you're describing, it's kind of slow, and you might not find what you need in any given book. You might not know what's happening to you, and it seems like you were probably lucky to be able to find some kind of definition of what was happening to you, no?
It was because I was in community where everyone was having that experience that I just asked and did my research in the books to get the foundation from the actual teachers of the tradition, what was going on and how to work with it. And
okay, good.
That just made it easier to go into it again.
So you could go into it supported, not feeling necessarily like something weird was happening and taking you over.
Yeah, it gives you once you know that it's something that's naturally that's occurring that is a good thing, and it's inspiring to go deeper into it rather than, oh, something weird is happening or...
Right. Right. I guess you could feel like you were dying. Let's move on to the Tantra side of it, because it's akin to this. I mean, people have these spontaneous Kundalini awakenings. You know, recently, just you weren't there. I mean, you're in New York here, too, with me, but, you know, you were away recently when Charles Muir, the famous Tantra teacher, was here in New York, and I actually asked him, and Montauk Chia, who is a Taoist, a teacher of Taoism, which also has a sexual practices and uses the same energy to awaken the body and contain that vital life force. And I asked them both about spontaneous Kundalini awakening and was this dangerous? And they both in their own way said it wasn't and that, you know, people needed to be guided. But the thing Charles said that I thought was so amazing was, he said, you know, you don't awaken Kundalini. Kundalini awakens you. And it happens when it's time. So, you know, Krishna, based on what Charles said, I got to believe that too, since I trust the process so much, that was probably the perfect moment for you to awaken, you know, in your life.
Yeah, I'd say so. And it just keeps... I see that happen with other people, too. One of my close friends had never done anything, and except for maybe a yoga class once or twice, and she was in the practice of was making love to a partner and had a Kundalini experience and expanded out and had this dramatic experience, but... And then didn't know have any construct for it. So that again is the only issue of not having community.
Yeah.
But it does open when it's supposed to open, and she said she never was the same after that.
Yeah, I imagine she was never the same after that. That's a good thing, probably. Well, let's move into, since you just mentioned that she was making love to a partner when this happened to her, let's move into the tantric realm. So when did you first start learning about Tantra and actually practicing Tantra? When would you say? Because you're young, and you're young to have this kind of knowledge and experience. It's kind of like if I had it, you know, earlier in my life would have gone a completely different way. And your life is kind of going the way it's going based on these practices. So When did you first discover, you know, or stumble upon Tantra?
Well, my first opportunity to actually take what it is that I'd been studying and put it into practice was when I was 19 and actually went into a Charles Mears class. And they have a segment there where there's a practice of doing yoni massage and on a woman who chooses you, if you do get chosen. And I ended up doing some of the stuff that Charles did in the workshop that guided people to do. I was applied some mudras and stuff that I had studied over the years and just didn't have anyone to play with at that point. And it ended up being very, very powerful.
So you basically stumbled into Tantra in your first Tantra workshop and had an experience with a woman, a sexual experience with a woman, but it wasn't really a sexual experience. It was more like a healing experience using the sex chakra, using the sex center or the sacred spot. Is that how we could talk about Charles's work?
Yeah. That'd be a good way to talk about Charles's work.
Yeah. I mean, I too had, Charles was not my first teacher, but I did have occasion to go to a workshop with him last year, and I had an incredible experience, tantric experience, as a result of the homework and his work. So, but at 19, that's quite a young age to have this experience, and that kind of set you on a tantric path, more or less. So you've been practicing Tantra now for quite some time, maybe 10,
yeah.
11 years?
Yeah, that's about right, 10, 11 years now at this point.
And you actually have made this, you know, much like I'm a Tantra teacher and I teach classes of people, you have made your Tantra work into the practice of healing and seeing individuals, yeah?
Yeah. That would be accurate. Work mostly privately with men over the years, and then occasionally had women I was working with, and then there was a period of time where I sort of lived in, you could almost say, like a temple setting with multiple the practitioners and same tantra work.
Okay, pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So let me just stop for a second here because we're going to have some music momentarily, but I want to identify us. I want to identify the show. If you've just tuned in, I want to let you know you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Hamler, your host, and it's my privilege tonight to have Krishna Naidu on my show, a man who teaches both yoga, a form of hatha yoga called Svarupa yoga, and also teaches tantra and works with individuals in tantric healing sessions as his right livelihood. And if you'd like to call in this evening, you can reach us on 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, or you can call in worldwide at 877-489-6350. You also can write me a fast chat on the BBS fast chat if you go to bbsradio.com. Well, if you're listening, you must be at bbsradio.com. So somewhere around there, you can find a place where you click on fast chat if you have any questions for us. So before I ask you some personal questions about how it's affected your life, Krishna, I think we're going to move to hearing a piece of music that I use in some of my workshops. I particularly use this piece. It's my first show on this station. I used a Sophia piece of music, and I'm going to use Sophia again. The name of this song is "I Open My Heart," and it's from her Journey into Love CD. And I use this piece of music in what's called a puja. So we'll hear the music first, and then I'll describe a little bit about a puja. So I don't hear the music yet, but hopefully we're going to play it now.
I open my heart to you and let your love flow through me. I open my heart to you and let your love flow through me. I open my heart to you and let your love flow through me. I open my heart to you. Let your love flow through me. God, you are filling me up with your love. Goddess, you are filling me up with your love.
Okay, we're back with Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. You're listening on bbsradio.com, and I'm Laurie Handlers, here with my guest, Krishna Naidu. By the way, if you would like to get in touch with me off air, you would, or Krishna, we're both on the same website, you would go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. That's Butterfly Workshops, plural, and that's where you can reach us. So we just heard a piece of music called I Open My Heart by Sophia, and I said something about using it in my workshops as part of puja. And puja is it's a Hindu custom of honoring the gods and the goddesses, honoring the deities. And people of the Hindu religion honor their gods and goddesses by performing puja, by offering flower petals and fruits and different things to the deities. And in Tantra we use it because in Tantra we are gods and goddesses. All of us are gods and goddesses. Change the whole paradigm that we live in, making ourselves gods and goddesses, and we perform puja to each other. So I might perform puja to my partner, which is to honor my partner with flower petals and incense and perhaps a bath and other rituals that have to do with honoring the God within him, and he might have a ritual back to me honoring the goddess within me. And we use a lot of Sophia's music in this kind of ritual. So I hope you enjoyed the piece of music that you heard. So Krishna, we're back to the conversation of how you got into Tantra, and what I want to know is how it has positively affected your life. You know, in what ways has it changed you?
Well, I'd like to begin with talking about the practice of puja and how that actually is the practice that is how it's affected my life. Is the practice started with chanting and meditating and doing practices at designated times, and then it just kind of spread into chanting as I'm walking down the street and doing other daily practices. And through that process, it actually came to a point where I had taken the practice from off the mat or off the sitting practice into an experience where I was experiencing those meditation and stilling of the mind. and rushes of energy from sitting in, from doing practice there to the practice of whatever it I was doing. For instance, maybe I had a selfless service practice of picking up trash as I walked to the meditation center. And then just the act of picking up trash ended up becoming became charged with the experience of spiritual experience. And that's what Tantra really is that merging, that weaving of the mundane with the divine. So you have these practices that are divine and create more energy and more awareness. And then when you blend them with the rest of your life, you become more aware, or I've become more aware, and I've experienced more connection in every moment doing what it is that I do as my right livelihood, the massage practice.
So are you saying that you, like puja, the honoring of the deities, the honoring of the gods and goddesses, that's like a regular walking through your life practice, like every single day, and most of everything you do, if you're aware of it, becomes some kind of an honoring of the planet or honoring of yourself or honoring of others? Is that what you mean when you're saying, you know, like making the chanting or picking up fast practice? Like, how is that a puja?
Well, it's taking that practice that here you are honoring your partner with oils and incense and different, we'll say, or other different ways of honoring your partner. That oil from the practice of doing that with your partner becomes associated and affiliated in your sensation in your body as being a pleasurable experience. And if you take that oil and apply it to and use it while you're working or something else, after you've gotten to the point where you've created that, an association of that with that pleasurable practice that you're doing with your partner, then you use it in your life when you're working or something else, it'll have that same sensation arising as a sensorial memory that occurs.
So it sounds like you're in the state of making love, or some aspect or sensation associated with making love all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. How nice is that? That's sweet. Why practice Tantra? Oh, you feel like you're in a state of making love, or you're associated with making love all the time. Who wouldn't want that? That's pretty cool. So, now, you know, so that's how it's changed your life. Like you walk around like in a state of awareness and associated with making love all the time. That's a really great advertisement for Tantra. That really is. I mean, really, who wouldn't want that? So let me ask you a couple other things here. Let's just trace this. Do you have, you know, a favorite practice? You know, do you have a favorite alone practice, and do you have a favorite partner practice?
Okay, so alone practice would be of just increasing more awareness through either bringing attention to the breath, or as I'm eating, slowing down enough that I can feel the sensation of the food being assimilated into my body, or the change of the texture of the food and change of flavor as it gets more masticated or chewed.
Okay, so this is something that everybody could do. I mean, even if somebody doesn't have a partner, I mean, I always say to people, you know, it is a complete fallacy to think that you have to have a partner to practice Tantra. You could actually practice Tantra by yourself. You could prepare yourself as your own beloved, having these wonderful lovemaking experiences to yourself, and I think you're about to tell us about this. And at the same time, if you're lucky enough to have a partner, then you can actually have these practices together with someone, but to think that you have to have a partner is not correct. Like, you could be in a tantric, on a tantric path or in a tantric lifestyle without a partner. So tell us exactly what you mean. Since we've done some breath practices on the show before where we did we did the whole charging breath and the whole transmutation. Tell us a little bit more about sensual food practice. Like, for example, if one of the listeners wanted to learn this, what would you recommend?
I would recommend by starting with foods that, a workshop I was with you at recently, initiation, I did it with parsley because it actually does change consistency during the, and it changes flavor. Initially it has no flavor at all, but slowing down enough to chew it and actually release the juices, which does take time, it actually changes consistency, flavor, and sensation. It the parsley, the texture of it rubbing up against as it masticates, it touches your lips and your and the inside of your gums and your as it swirls around. And
so you would take, wait a second, so let's go back here. It kind of feels a little sexy as you're talking about it, you know, and the gums. And so let's say I'm a listener, I have no idea what you're talking about. The listener gets a piece of parsley and does what? Let's make this the to-go section, the tantric takeout. So a person gets a piece of parsley, and then what do they do?
Let's actually change the thing that I'm working with. We'll say
okay.
A strawberry.
Oh, yeah. That's much juicier. Go ahead.
So with a strawberry, you would slow down so that as you're slowly biting into the strawberry, you can feel the juice being released from the strawberry onto your palate. And as you finish taking that first bite, again, you're taking the bite so slowly that you can feel the juices being leaked out from that or released by that strawberry. And as you slowly begin to chew it, chewing enough that, again, you can feel the sensation of the changing and the texture, and then slowing it down enough and taking small enough to feel the cracking of the seeds of the strawberry. Actually, by doing this practice of cracking the seed of the strawberry, you're releasing the prana or the life force in the strawberry. And you can do this with other vegetables and fruits if you work with the seeds of them. I first discovered it at a restaurant with the soybeans or something like that at that point.
So how long would it take you to chew a strawberry?
Three or four minutes for maybe 2 minutes for one bite instead of just chewing it up.
2 minutes for one bite. That's amazing. It's totally amazing. I mean, when I think about how fast people eat and fast food and how people don't even taste their food. They just have the sensation of wanting to get full. You're talking about the complete opposite of that. You're talking about slowing down to sensuously eat a piece of fruit so slowly that they can actually feel the juice of the fruit getting released into their mouth. That's amazing. That's just, now I've seen you do it, so I'm putting my spin on it. I've seen you do it many times. I've seen you do it in a taxi cab with three people in the cab, like giving people bites of strawberry really slowly. And that's a very sensuous tantric practice. It's quite amazing. Now I've seen you do it with parsley. I've seen people, you know, you make the suggestion of parsley. So now people would do this to slow down and really experience the experience of something that's a pleasurable thing to do, eating. So you can do this with a partner. You can do this by yourself.
And the thing about the practice is it really works. I'd say the only way you can get to the point of really feeling the sensation on the more vibratory level is to work with raw foods.
Raw foods, okay.
Because the more processed the food is, the more difficult it is to actually pick up on the sensation, and you're not going to get as much out of it. If, we'll say, you're drinking a strawberry shake, you're not going to get it as if you slow down and take the time to feel the change in the texture and feeling the, fully having the natural juices of your body, the saliva mixing with the whatever fruit you're eating at that time.
Well, you know, I've done this practice with chocolate. You know, I used to do, when I used to do my introductions to Tantra, I still do sometimes, I pass around chocolate, like chocolate kisses, and then I say to everybody at the same time, you know, unwrap the kiss at the exact same time, and everyone put it in your mouth, just put it in the corner of your mouth, and then don't chew it, just keep it there, and then about 5 minutes later, I say, okay, who still has the chocolate? And I have a show of hands. You know, some people unconsciously, they just start chewing. And then about 10 minutes, I say, okay, who still has the chocolate? And then in about 15 minutes, I say, well, who can still taste the chocolate? And really, only a few people can still taste the sensation of the chocolate. Now, that's not raw food. That's processed food. But chocolate does have that effect if you're not chewing it, if you're just holding it in the mouth and letting it melt. I've used that for a long time because, to me, I think Tantra is about experiencing the sensation for as long as possible rather than hurrying up to get to some end. And wouldn't you say that's kind of true about what you're describing with the strawberries?
Yeah, it's slowing down, and part of that is as you increase the amount of sensation that you feel, why wouldn't you want to feel it longer?
Yeah, well, that is, that's a whole tantric principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole notion of, this is, we're giving you, you know, in case, we're subtly and not so subtly giving you, listeners, an idea here that you might want to take right into your life right now, and that is taking the idea of creating sensation and prolonging it as long as possible with no particular where to go, with no particular end in sight, simply taking the sensation and letting yourself receive it fully and experience it fully for as long as possible. And if you map that on to a sensual experience with a partner or a sensual experience with yourself, you start to change and shift. In our world, in our fast food world, in our fast culture world, people are always in a hurry to get to the goal, to hit pay dirt, to reach the, you know, the end line and the, or the end zone. And in Tantra, there's nowhere to get to. There's no place, there's no reaching the end. I'm sorry, was there something that you were going to say, Krishna?
Yeah, and here's the actual payoff for all you ladies out there. You'll actually begin to lose weight because you will be able to feel when your body's had enough, and you won't eat as much because you'll be fully satisfied by the sensation, and slowing down, your body will tell you you'll be able to feel when your body gives you that stop point of, I've had enough, I don't need any more of this, which might mean just one bite of a strawberry, or it might end up being a whole box of strawberries. It'll change from day to day, which doesn't mean that anything. It's just what it is in that present moment. So you
now, why did you say only the ladies? Wait a minute. Why did you say only the ladies? Couldn't men lose some weight this way, too?
Oh, yes, but I think I hear that more from even men talking about weight. But everyone could lose weight. Actually, it's not really about losing weight either, because I continue to do the practice, and my body, it's just more like a balancing. Your body comes mm-hmm. into balance where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's perfect for each person, and you'll feel more sensation, more pleasure, and sensation will increase as you become more and more tuned in.
Well, see, now I have to just say this as a tantric master myself. I have to say that I didn't think that's where you were going with it. When you said, and ladies, this is going to be good for you, I had a different thing in mind. I thought you meant, which is what I would have meant by it, that women would receive more pleasure from their partners if their partners were slowed down and there was no end in mind. You know, and it doesn't matter to me whether people are same-sex couples or, you know, partners or heterosexual partners or multiple partners. I really don't care.
It's like the back door, actually.
Yeah, when people don't have a goal in mind and there's no place to get to, there's no finish line and they don't have to have release, then they're free to have sensation for hours, just like eating a strawberry for 10 minutes or having chocolate in your mouth that you're not chewing for 10 minutes. Like, that's just an analogy. It's real, and it's also an analogy for what's possible when people practice Tantra. Like, there's so much sensation in the actual making of love, the actual sexuality, that people can't even imagine. They cannot even imagine what it's like to slow it all down and have to get nowhere. That's really, like, I think it's one of the biggest attractions of Tantra. That people don't have to get anywhere, that there's no end in sight. Let me just kind of end on that note for a second, and let people know that they've been listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Hamlisch, your host. I'm just about to wrap up with my guest, Krishna Naidu, another Tantra master and yoga teacher, and we just found a very subtle way of letting you know just how juicy, just as juicy as a strawberry, Tantra happens to be. And we so hope that you're interested in pursuing this and finding out more. You can find us at butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops, plural, workshops.com. You can reach me there at my website, and Krishna's bio is on my website. He's a Tantra practitioner. He works with individuals. I work with groups. And let's see, Krishna, is there anything you want to say in signing off? Anything else you want to say? I mean, that was such a delicious and sensuous way to let people know what's really in store for them on a tantric path, which is both physical and spiritual. Anything?
Well, enjoy yourselves practicing and using something that you're going to eat. You might as well feel what you're eating or taste what
you're
eating.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest tonight. I totally appreciated that. I could see and feel and sense that whole strawberry thing. I could sense the parsley as well. hopefully our guests will try that on their own and see for themselves that in slowing down the whole sensation in any of the things we've mentioned, both subtly and directly, that they can have a tantric experience. So, signing off now, just want to thank you all for listening, and hopefully you can tell your friends to listen again on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time and noon Pacific Time. You can catch the show again, and I look forward to hearing from you live next Wednesday on Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handler saying namaste. Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you.